Welcome in, everyone, to the Deep Dive. We're diving straight in today, no messing around, with a case that has some pretty big implications, especially if you're thinking about, a career with the federal government, or maybe you're really into administrative law. This one's for you.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We're unpacking Elgin v. Department of the Treasury. This one's from 2012, and we've got like the full spread of info on this case, detailed brief, a perplexity analysis. We're going all in. Our goal today, really understand the key legal takeaways here, especially when we're talking about federal employees challenging, well, anything really, and where those legal battles actually end up going down.
Absolutely, yeah. At its core, it seems like a pretty straightforward situation, but there's this procedural twist in Elgin that gets pretty complex, surprisingly so. I've got federal employees, right, and they're fired for not registering with Selective Service, which is a, pretty basic requirement under federal law. But the thing is, these employees, they argued that the requirement itself, like the law behind it, was unconstitutional. And then the real curveball, they tried to make that argument right away in district court. They like completely bypassed the usual administrative process.
Okay, so to break it down for everyone listening, like, what actually happened to set off this whole chain of legal events? Who are the players here, and what were their arguments against the government?
Right, so front and center, we have Michael Elgin and a bunch of other federal employees. They were all facing termination because they didn't follow 5 USC section 3328, which, let me tell you, is pretty clear cut. If you know you're supposed to register for Selective Service, the requirement for men between 18 and 26, and you don't, well, you can't have a federal job. Now, Elgin and the others, they weren't saying they did register. They were going a whole other direction with it. They went straight for the constitutionality of the law itself, saying it was what they call a bill of attainder, which is basically like a law that punishes someone without a trial, which the Constitution says you can't do. And he also argued it was violating the Equal Protection Clause, because Selective Service only applies to men.
Okay, so essentially their argument was like, look, even if we didn't register, the law that says we have to is messed up and against the Constitution. So where did they first take this challenge? Wasn't it the Merit Systems Protection Board, the MSPB? What went down there?
Yeah, and that's where we hit the first big procedural roadblock. It's really key to understand this part. So the MSPB, right, that's the administrative body that usually deals with appeals from federal employees who are facing, negative actions at work, like being fired. So Elgin takes his case there, arguing that because Selective Service is unconstitutional, his firing shouldn't hold up. But the MSPB basically said, whoa, hold on, that's not something we can decide. They dismissed his appeal. And we're very clear that they don't have the power to make rulings on constitutional questions.
Wow, I can only imagine how frustrating that would be, you know? You're fired based on a law you believe is straight up unconstitutional, and the first place you turn to is basically like, sorry, can't help you with that part. So what's the usual next step after an MSPB decision, especially for a federal employment case?
All right, so under the Civil Service Reform Act, the CSRA, which is like the big kahuna when it comes to these federal employment disputes. The typical next move is to appeal the MSPB's decision to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit. This is a specialized appellate court that deals with a lot of administrative law cases, and that includes, yep, you guessed it, appeals coming from the MSPB.
Gotcha, the designated spot for these kinds of appeals. But Elgin did things a little differently, didn't he? He skipped that federal circuit step and went straight to district court, right? Why would someone, try to bypass that step and head to a more general trial court?
Yeah, that is the million-dollar question, the most likely answer. Elgin wanted a court that could actually, like, immediately rule on his constitutional claims.
That makes
Because
sense.
district courts, right, they're those courts of general jurisdiction, and they're fully equipped to handle those big constitutional challenges. So he probably figured that going through the whole MSPB thing, knowing they couldn't even touch the core of his argument, which was, again, that the law itself was unconstitutional, that it would just be a massive waste of time and resources. He was probably hoping for a quicker decision on whether the Selective Service requirement was even legal in the first place. Put yourself in his shoes. You believe the law they used to fire you is unconstitutional. The first place you appeal to is like, nope, not our problem. You'd probably want to go straight to a court that could actually deal with it, right?
Absolutely, I get that. Which leads us to the central legal question that the Supreme Court had to grapple with. What was the main issue they were asked to decide?
Exactly. So the big overarching question was basically, Does the CSRA, with its whole system for federal employment disputes, actually prevent district courts from hearing those constitutional claims that are tied to those disputes?
Wow.
And another part of that question was, is the process that CSRA sets up going through the MSPB, even though they can't rule on constitutionality, and then having the option to appeal to the Federal Circuit, is that actually enough to get proper judicial review of those constitutional claims?
It's like a two-parter then. So how did the Supreme Court, in that majority opinion written by Justice Thomas, how did they end up answering that?
Well, Justice Thomas and the majority, they came down pretty firmly on the side of the CSRA being the only route, the exclusive path.
Okay.
Their reasoning really came down to this idea of statutory intent. They took a super close look at the Civil Service Reform Act, at the painstaking detail, as they put it, that Congress used to lay out how these federal employment disputes should be solved.
Uh-huh.
And the court decided that, with that level of detail, it seemed pretty clear that Congress meant for the CSRA to be the only way these disputes were handled, even when constitutional questions were part of it.
So they were reading between the lines, kind of, looking at how carefully Congress set up the CSRA and saying, well, they must meant for it to be the only way.
Yeah, exactly. Like they were looking at the law's blueprint and saying, this seems pretty intentional.
So even though the first step, that MSPB, can't actually deal with the constitutional argument, the Supreme Court was still saying, nope, you got to go through it. What's the logic there?
Well, that's where the role of the Federal Circuit is super important.
Okay.
The majority really emphasized that the Federal Circuit, this is an Article III court, which means the judges there have all those protections and independence of the federal judiciary. And this is key. It can handle constitutional issues when a case gets appealed up to it from the MSPB. So the way the court sees it, even though the MSPB can't rule on whether a law is constitutional, the whole process, you know, maybe ending up at the Federal Circuit,
mm-hmm.
it does have a mechanism for those constitutional arguments to be heard and decided by a court that has the power to do so.
Right. So it's not like they're completely ignoring those constitutional claims. It's more like, we've got a system for this, just got to follow the steps.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all about that process, making sure things go to the right court in the right order.
Gotcha. What other big justification did the court give for their decision?
The other major part of their reasoning was what they called the policy rationale. They were worried that if federal employees could just skip the CSRA process and head straight to district court whenever they had a constitutional argument about their job, it would totally throw off that integrated review scheme that Congress made with the CSRA.
I see.
They believed allowing those direct lawsuits would make things inefficient, create inconsistencies, and basically undermine what Congress wanted, which was to have one streamlined system for dealing with these employment disputes.
Right. So you wouldn't have different courts making contradictory rulings on the same kinds of cases.
Exactly. It's all about keeping things organized and consistent.
Okay. So that makes sense from, you know, a big picture perspective. You want some kind of unified approach. But what about those who disagreed? What were Justice Alito and the others who dissented? What were their arguments?
Well, Justice Alito, in his dissent, had a totally different take.
Okay.
He said that constitutional claims, like the one Elgin was making, where you're directly challenging the law itself, were wholly collateral, he called them,
yes,
to those typical, more fact-based employment disputes that the CSRA usually handles.
Mm-hmm.
He really pointed out how, well, strange it seemed that an employee would have to go through the MSPB, present their constitutional argument, and then just be told, sorry, we can't rule on that. It's like making someone jump through all these hoops, and then at the end, their main issue, the fact that they think the law is unconstitutional, isn't even addressed.
So for the employee, it's like going through all the motions only to be told the person making the initial decision can't even touch the main point.
Exactly. It's like being told you have to go through a door, but then finding out it's actually a wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see what you mean. So Alito was really thinking about that individual employee's experience and how this might just be a bunch of unnecessary steps. So big picture, what's the main takeaway, the impact of the Supreme Court's decision in Elgin? What does it mean for federal employees?
The biggest impact is that it really puts the brakes on federal employees going directly to district courts when they have those constitutional claims as part of their employment disputes.
Mm-hmm.
The Supreme Court basically doubled down on the CSRA being the main, and in a lot of cases, the only way to go for these kinds of disputes. So bottom line, if you're working for the federal government and something happens that you want to challenge, even if you think the law itself is unconstitutional, you basically got to start with the CSRA, that whole administrative process.
Okay, so we've covered the details of the case itself. Now let's get into some of those key legal concepts it brings up. Our materials talk about the CSRA's comprehensive scheme. What's that all about?
Well, the CSRA, which became law back in 1978, was this big overhaul of the entire federal civil service system. It created a way more structured, more centralized way to handle personnel issues for federal employees. Things like disciplinary actions, firings, all of that.
Mm.
The thinking behind this comprehensive scheme was to have a more efficient and consistent way to deal with those disputes.
Makes sense.
Kind of like the exhaustion doctrine you see in administrative law, the general idea that you have to go through all the available administrative options before you can take things to court.
Okay.
So the CSRA basically says for federal employment disputes, this is the route. Go through the MSPB, then maybe to the federal circuit, and that's it.
And another idea that comes up is this jurisdictional preclusion. What's that all about and how does it fit into Elgin?
So jurisdictional preclusion is all about Congress having the power in specific situations to basically say, nope, district courts can't hear these types of cases.
Sure.
They're taking away the district court's power, their jurisdiction to hear those cases. In Elgin, the Supreme Court decided that through how they wrote the CSRA, Congress fairly discernibly intended to keep district courts away from those constitutional arguments about federal employment actions that the law covers.
So, like, Congress is saying, we've made a special courthouse just for these types of cases, and everyone else, stay out.
Yeah, exactly. Elgin says that's what Congress did with federal employment disputes. They even brought up the Thunder Basin case from 1994, which was about mine safety. In that case, the court found that Congress meant for all those disputes to go through a specific process, so no initial lawsuits in district court. It's all about Congress making a special route for certain issues and saying, sometimes directly, sometimes indirectly, other courts, hands off at the beginning.
Right. So it's about making that designated path and saying, this is the way. We touched on it earlier, but it's worth mentioning again. What's the Federal Circuit's role in all of this? They seem pretty important.
Yeah, the Federal Circuit is like that safety net for constitutional issues in this whole system. Even though the MSPB, you know, that initial administrative body, can't rule on those constitutional questions, the Federal Circuit, being a proper Article III court, has the full judicial power to do so when a case makes it up there from the MSPB.
Right.
That was a big part of why the Supreme Court decided the way they did in Elgin. They knew that a real judicial review of those constitutional arguments was still possible, just not at the district court level at first.
All right, let's clear up something that might be confusing for our listeners. Why can't the MSPB just rule on whether a federal statute is constitutional?
That's a great question and important to clarify. At its core, the MSPB is an administrative agency. It's part of the executive branch. Mm-hmm. What they're good at is interpreting and applying federal personnel rules, you know, the statutes and regulations, and figuring out the facts about what happened in employment actions. They're not meant to be a constitutional court.
So they're like specialists in the HR rule book for the government.
Yeah, pretty much.
Got it.
The power to say what the Constitution means and to strike down laws as unconstitutional, that's mainly given to the judicial branch, the federal courts. So the MSPB's job is to say whether an employee broke a rule and whether the agency had a good reason for what they did, based on those existing rules.
Okay.
When someone says the law itself is wrong, that's considered outside of what they can decide.
And one last thing. The materials mention this fairly discernible standard. What does that even mean, especially in the context of this case?
So the fairly discernible standard is how courts figure out if Congress meant to block district courts in a particular set of laws, even if the law doesn't literally say district courts can't hear these cases.
Mm-hmm.
It's less of a hard and fast rule, more of a judgment call, where courts look at how the whole law is structured and what it's trying to do. They're asking, based on how Congress designed this system, is it pretty obvious that they wanted this process to be the only way to deal with these kinds of claims? In Elgin, the Supreme Court said that, yeah, with how comprehensive the CSRA is, its detailed procedures, and that option for the Federal Circuit to review, it was fairly discernible that Congress didn't want district courts involved at the beginning when it came to those constitutional challenges about employment actions covered by the Act. It wasn't a screaming no district courts allowed sign, but the Supreme Court was like, come on, it's kind of obvious that's what they meant.
So putting it all together for our listeners, especially the law students out there who might be into federal employment or administrative law, what's the big takeaway from Elgin? What makes this case so important?
This case is a huge reminder that there are very specific rules and limits when you're fighting actions taken by the federal government, especially when we're talking about jobs. It shows that push and pull that happens between having an efficient process for administrative stuff and also making sure individual rights under the Constitution are protected.
That makes sense.
Elgin is clear. Congress has a lot of power to decide how those disputes are handled, and courts will usually go along with how they set things up, even if it means constitutional arguments have to go through those agencies first, even though they can't actually rule on them. It's like they're saying that even with a big constitutional challenge, the process prioritizes getting things moving administratively, trusting that the Federal Circuit will be there to handle those legal questions later down the line.
So it's like a trade-off, right? Efficiency now versus looking at the constitutional stuff right away.
Right, exactly.
To sum it all up, the bottom line from Elgin is, if you're a federal employee facing some action at work and you think the law behind it is unconstitutional, you got to start with that CSRA process, beginning with the MSPB. The Supreme Court said, this is the way, folks.
Totally. And it really makes you think about the balance they struck. On the one hand, got to have an efficient system to manage like a ton of federal workers. On the other hand, people have the right to say, hey, this law you're using against me, it's not even constitutional.
Mm.
The Elgin decision basically puts that administrative smooth sailing first, but knowing that constitutional review is still an option just a little later on. It begs the question, though, does this actually protect federal employees' rights, or does it just put up a bunch of roadblocks? Makes you think.
Definitely a lot to think about. Thanks for breaking this down for us today. We'll catch everyone next time on The Deep Dive.